Cheerscast is part of the Fire & Water Podcast Network.
I have my new wedding dress, and now all I need is something old, something borrowed, and something blue.
How about Norm's liver?
I am almost finished with it.
You want to go where everybody knows your name.
Hello and welcome back to Cheerscast, the podcast where everybody knows your name. I'm your host, Ryan Daly, and joining me again is friend of the show and friend of mine, Omar Uden. What's up, man?
How's it going, Ryan?
Good to have you back. Good to have you. We've talked even long before this podcast was even an idea of mine. We've talked about Cheers and how much we enjoyed the character of Robin Colcord. And we come now to the end of that, really, the year and a half long saga of Rebecca and Robin. Minor exception, spoilers for anybody who doesn't know, he'll show up one more time in season 11. But yeah, this is sort of the culmination of that storyline.
Yeah, like a super neat character, like brilliantly portrayed. Like there's just something very like mischievous about and fun about his interactions with the group, like his haughtiness, like disguised as like, you know, being genteel. I just think Roger Reese was like brilliant in the role, and it's like a really fully actualized, fun character. I mean, I assume you would agree that of all the non-main cast members, of all the recurring guest stars, he is the most memorable.
I think so. Yeah, given the amount of time he spends in the show, like with the cast, without ever being a full-time member. Like, I mean, it's funny. I kind of brought this up, but as we're saying goodbye to Robin in the middle of this season, we have also just recently in episodes gotten the introduction of John Allen Hill and also Henri, Woody's nemesis for Kelly's affections.
Oh God, I forgot about Henri.
He's not in as many episodes as I remember him being in, but mm-hmm. he leaves such an impression, but
yeah.
And again, I've been saying this who knows how many times. It really seemed like Robin's character arc and the whole story with Rebecca should have been done at the end of season 8 or the beginning of season 9, like when he goes to jail. Like there was really no reason to keep coming back to him, but for the fact that Kirstie Alley was pregnant in real life at this time, and they wanted to have this dynamic of, is Robin the father? Is it going to be Sam as the father?
Yeah.
So they had excuses where she would visit him in jail and he was on like a chain gang or something. So they would keep kind of bringing his character in. At this point in the filming of the show, Kirstie Alley had her miscarriage. So that was never going to be a thing. So they were like, okay, we have this thing hanging over us. We just need to write him out. We just need to give him an actual proper send off. So.
And they did it in a really good way. I mean, it did it in a way that was like, you know, drew out a lot of the humor of like the Rebecca character. It allowed them an opportunity to bring out like the menschiness of Ted Danson. And like any excuse for Roger Reese to be in the spotlight is going to be justified.
Right. Folks, we're already talking about the major events of this episode without even getting into it. So let me do the summary. We're in season 9, episode 16, Wedding Bell Blues. This one written by Dan O'Shannon and Tom Anderson, directed by James Burrows. The original air date was Thursday, January 31st, 1991. Sam tells the gang that Rebecca has called off the wedding, except she shows up at Cheers in her wedding dress to meet her stylist and doesn't remember the night before, where she told Sam she doesn't love Robin Colcord anymore. Everyone gathers at City Hall for the ceremony. Everyone except Cliff, who is taken away by security. Sam confronts Rebecca with evidence of her drunken confession the night before, but she won't listen. Robin then presents his wedding gift to her, Bobby Hatfield of the Righteous Brothers, singing for their wedding, which is a bummer to Frasier, who was promised the gig. Sam tries one last trick, getting Bobby to sing the Bob Seger song that Rebecca sang the night before. She suddenly remembers telling Sam she doesn't love Robin. Sam thinks it's because Robin is no longer rich. The idea of being so shallow offends Rebecca at first, but it's actually true, and she leaves Robin at the altar. Back at Cheers, she admits to Robin and herself that she loved him for his money. Robin asks if she would love him if he still had millions of dollars, and she says no. At that point, Robin reveals that he still has millions of dollars and leaves her. Now we can get into the gritty of this. However, I do have to make a quick note about the episode before this, which was called The Days of Wine and Neuroses, I had it in my notes to talk about the episode title, but I didn't get to it when Marlene and I were recording. And then this was pointed out to me by one of the listeners and a former guest of the show named Greg Solomon. Omar, not the same Greg Solomon that you know really well. Different guy, same name. But he pointed out that the title Days of Wine and Neuroses was a play on the film Days of Wine and Roses, starring Jack Lemmon, in which the female character in the movie is driven to alcoholism. So it's a nice little parallel with Rebecca's journey by the end of that one. So I did want to mention that last episode. I forgot to.
Well, listen, they're thematically connected. It's hard to discuss one episode without discussing the other one. In fact, I feel like the Last Week on Cheers segment was pretty long. You know, usually it's a couple of scenes, but this one felt like it like fairly sustained.
Yeah, which was nice because they just had a very brief teaser. And I love this because it's one of those really short ones that could go slot anywhere. But Frasier comes in, he asks for a beer, and Woody's like, hang on a second, because Woody is reading a magazine and Sam is reading a magazine and the guys at the bar, they're all reading magazines. And Woody says he's reading about genetic coding. And Frasier's like, do you understand it? And Woody's like, no, thank God I'm almost done. And then Norm is reading an article, like scientific journal about isolating the gene that causes arthritis. And Frasier's like, Sam, what are you reading? He's like, oh, it's an ad for an air conditioner, for a hair conditioner. Makes your scalp all tingly. Naturally, Frasier's like, well, I'm really impressed that you guys are all reading these journals in these magazines. Like, yeah, well, once a week, we like to expand our horizons. And then Cliff comes out with his open mailbag. He's like, toss them back in. I got to finish my route.
It's actually a perfect teaser, like in terms of like the length, the perfect like kind of cold open you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then after the credits, we jump back into where we left off and Frasier is singing. I kind of mentioned, like, I'm sure this subplot of them needing a karaoke machine and getting rid of the jukebox for a few days was just an excuse. Like, we really want Kelsey Grammer and Bebe Neuwirth to sing on an episode. So,
what's... Oh, 100%. Like, isn't Bebe Neuwirth, I don't know this for sure, but isn't she like a Tony-winning song and dance person?
Yes, yeah. Song and dance. Yeah, absolutely. And because it's a great setup, because Frasier is singing the song You're Just in Love from the Irving Berlin musical, Call Me Madam. And you see Norm, Cliff, and Paul, the third barfly, are just kind of at the bar looking miserable. And Lilith kind of walks back and Norm pleads with her, stop, Frasier, you've got to do something. And she's like, I only know one trick, but it's pretty drastic. And she walks over and plucks the mic out of his hand, and Lilith starts singing. And it's a nice little segue because she starts singing a different song. It's called You Don't Need Analyzing. But the music flows because in the musical, these two songs come back to back. And they end up overlapping like later on. But it's like a weird part where there's like a doubling of the song. And his part leads directly into hers. And she's singing and she's still doing her buttoned up thing. And Frasier's like, well, you know, he's kind of haughty and upset that she's upstaged him. But the guy's like, yeah, she's got a good set of pipes on her for
the guys are getting into it. And she's great. And she's getting into it too. I mean, it's not just her quality of her voice, but like her body language. You can tell she's having like Bebe Neuwirth's having like a ton of fun with it.
That's the best part. She starts doing this little snap and elbow thing with her, but she has to be like maintaining this kind of Lilith stiffness about it.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that Bebe Neuwirth is 1,000 times more graceful and elegant. It's like she's won awards for these kind of shows, like doing Chicago and stuff like that. She performed it, but the way she's playing this one, because Sam comes in and he's like, Lilith, Lilith, cut the music. And she doubles down. She's going even harder.
And then like, isn't that the one where like, as he stops her, and she just walks away and she's just like smirking about like always wanting to leave him wanting more.
Yes. Yes. Okay. She gets so many good lines in this one. Sam tells everybody, he's like, look, go easy on Rebecca because she called off the wedding. Why? Well, because she said she doesn't love Robin anymore and she doesn't want to marry him. Then Rebecca comes in wearing the wedding dress, all bubbly and smiley. Hey guys. And she's meeting her stylist, Jonathan, who I looked up in the guest. Jonathan is played by Ron Abel, This is his only acting credit on IMDb. He also
are has you a, kidding? That's his only acting credit?
Yeah, but he has like two other kind of weird credits for like music composer and music department. I kind of assumed that he might have been in hair and makeup, and that was his actual forte. But he also has a few music credits, which is interesting.
He's great in this, by the way. His couple of scenes are fantastic.
Yeah, he's got two scenes, a couple good lines. He has a good interaction with Sam.
Yep.
Rebecca meets him. She's sitting down, and he starts working with her hair and everything. And like the guys are like, "Oh yeah, she seems really depressed, Sam. Like, I can't believe it." And Lilith is like, "Ordinarily, people don't deal with depression by putting on a wedding dress and acting giddy." Coming from a psychiatrist, I'm like, I wonder. I think she might have had some other nuance about that. But anyway, just
given that a few minutes later, Fraser himself was bested in the psychiatry department by a righteous brother, you know, I feel like it's time that we question their acumen.
That's true. That's a good point. But she's like, nobody acts like putting on a wedding dress and acting giddy. And Carla's like, well, except maybe Clavin. And Cliff sternly like, men don't get giddy. And he and Norm do a high five.
High five, yeah.
Sam confronts Rebecca. He finds out that she doesn't remember anything about last night, completely blacked out, doesn't remember what she told him. And then while Sam is trying to convince her, he looks down and just casually, he recognizes the gel that the stylist is using. He's like, you use this stuff? He's like, I tried it. It just dries my hair out. Jonathan's like, are you touching it during the drying phase? I'm like, hey, what am I, a rookie?
The way he sells that line is perfect.
Like, yeah, it's just like a different sphere, but it's similar to on Parks and Rec with the character Ron Swanson walking down a Lowe's or a Home Depot. And the guy's just like, can I help you? He's like, I know more than you. Just walking away. It's like,
that's a very good reference. Yeah.
I can do your job better than you can. So. Rebecca is telling the gang, you know, she's got something new, but she needs something old, something borrowed, and something blue. Hey, how about Norm's liver?
That's a beautiful moment. I love that line.
And he's not even upset. He's kind of rationally like, I'm almost done with it. I'm not going to need it much longer. Fraser then asks if he can sing at her wedding, and she's like, yeah, of course you can. And he's like, really? He's just all smiles. Sam tries one more time to stop her, and she, of course, just brushes past him. She doesn't remember anything. And then he wants to like chase her down, but Fraser's like, no, you got to help me move the karaoke machine because I got a gig.
It's funny that there are two psychiatrists on the show, and like Sam is the one that's trying to like get Rebecca to like admit the truth that's like haunting her psyche.
And then we go to City Hall where they're just wonderful gag after wonderful gag, this whole little sequence. It starts with Fraser testing the speakers and everything and the mic, and he just like walks back to his seat, just kind of, we're gonna cook tonight. And he's just so happy with himself. Cliff walks in calling City Hall the civil servant's home away from home, and he says whenever the job gets him down, he comes here just to wander the halls.
That exact moment, I mean, like the City Hall official is just like, hey. Oh, we agreed you wouldn't be here anymore.
Yeah, the security card. The security card played by George Case, who also only has one acting credit on IMDb.
What is going on?
But he has a handful of directing credits for like TV movies. So
these one-timers are knocking out of the park.
Yeah, for real. It's crazy. The security goes, well, I told you never to come back here. And Cliff tries to plead. He's like, look, I'm with the wedding. And the security guy looks at Norm. He's like, is that true? And Norm's like, yeah. He's here with us. But and Norm kind of pulls him aside quietly. Stick around.
Those George Wentz asides like are great with that guy.
It's so good. Sam comes in where holding Rebecca's bathrobe, a box of pizza, half-eaten pizza, and two empty wine bottles that he got from Rebecca's apartment. How did he get these into City Hall?
Like, a very good question. If the security guard was a lot lighter than it used to be. Hey, this is right up there with how did the Macaulay Culkin character get on the wrong plane in the second movie, you know? Things were a lot more lax back then.
There you go. Knocks on the door of like Rebecca's dressing room, and he's trying to jog her memory. He's like, look, I brought some pizza with Canadian bacon and pineapple, and your robe with Canadian bacon and pineapple. And that's when she says she does remember. You remember this? She remembers that she left her garter in the car and asks Sam to go get it. Cliff starts talking to Norm about wedding traditions of a tribal culture in Africa, where the bride and groom are smeared with honey and oil and then sent to an anthill. And that's the point where Norm just turns back to the security guard. This man is bothering me, please.
And, you know, a lesser show would have just, like, left it at that. But the fact that the guy, like, took Cliff and Cliff was like, oh, we're going downstairs to the room, huh? Like, they delivered on the joke.
It's so Sam goes in again, tries it. He said he sent Woody for her garter. And he's just kind of like, wow, your hair. Like, he's genuinely impressed by it. And Jonathan, the stylist, just goes, here, I brought you some samples.
It's a beautiful moment. So funny.
Again, just nothing fly by character, but a few really good moments there.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, he's wonderful. Just a couple of scenes with Sam specifically and, like, them sparring and then having, like, a grudging acceptance of each other is, like, beautiful.
Yeah, so good. Sam, you know, kind of tells Rebecca that they've known each other for a long time. She's one of his best friends. And what he has to do right now comes from a place of love because he really cares about her. And then he slaps her across the face. And it's like, snap out of this. You said you don't love the guy and you don't want to marry him. Woody comes in. He couldn't find her garter, but he found a pair of jumper cables.
And, like, Woody is so, like, what I love about that character is that, like, just the visual of him walking in the room with the jumper cables in hand is just funny enough. Like, you already kind of have a sense that, like, things got haywire, that he went to do a specific thing and it went haywire. And then it was just like, wait, I thought you went to get the garter. It was just, like, a great moment.
It's like, what am I supposed to do those? He's like, well, they're not much to look at, but I think they'll hold your stockings up. He's like, what am I supposed to throw to the bridesmaids, a tire iron or something? So Sam gives up. He's like, fine, you're on your own. He's like, good luck waking up every morning too. And he kind of puts on his faux British accent. Good morning, Rebecca. At which point Robin walks right by him. Good morning, Rebecca.
Perfect timing. And, like, even though it's not like Robin, you know, we're not meant to think that Robin was, like, scoping him out and, like, anticipating doing that. But it just, that scene and the way, like, Roger Reese played that just kind of, it just kind of was very illustrative of just the dismissive haughtiness that Robin had. That just the clueless haughtiness that he had. That was just, it was just a great moment. Sold very well by the actors.
But I also think, in a way, like, shows how well Sam knows too. Like, Sam's,
yeah, for sure.
Like, gauge on Robin's character and, like, the way they talk. Yeah. So,
yep.
Robin's, you know, he says it's bad luck to see the bride before the wedding, but he's already lost his fortune and gone to prison. What more could happen? And he has a secret for her. It was her wedding gift, but he can't hold it back anymore. And he says, remember when I got you Bill Medley of the Righteous Brothers to sing? This calls back to the episode finally from season 8. When Bill Medley, a.k.a. Righteous Brother number 1.
Yeah. Comes, no, well, the Righteous Brother. The Righteous Rebecca.
Yes. Because he opens the door and in comes Bobby Hatfield singing Unchained Melody. Now, funny little dichotomy, because previously Rebecca's favorite song, the one that famously got her weak at the knees and what Bill Medley sang, was You've Lost That Loving Feeling, which was popular at the time coming off of Top Gun. But in the intervening years, the movie Ghost has just come out a few months before this episode.
So, yeah, like 1990 now, or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Okay. So Unchained Melody is the big hit now. So, yep. But Bobby Hatfield comes in singing Unchained Melody, and Rebecca drops to her knees and goes, the other Righteous Brother. He's like, it's Bobby Hatfield. He's like, no, no, you'll always be the other Righteous Brother to me.
Now, is this the moment where Frasier realizes his goose is cooked as the wedding singer?
He walks in. He's like, who's this bozo?
Yeah.
And they're like, Bobby is going to sing for her wedding. And he's like, so he's in and I'm out. He's like, all right. Instead of my gift of song, I'll get you a set of steak knives so you can cut my heart out again.
By the way, parenthetically, he only has a couple lines, but I thought Bobby Hatfield was quite good. You know, like, singers and musicians are kind of hit or miss as actors. And he had a very limited, very narrowly tailored job, but I thought he was quite funny.
He is. And I said the exact same thing about Bill Medley in the previous appearance that he had last season. And it's one of the things, like when they had the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff on an episode, like, Cheers has this history of, like, bringing in non-acting guest stars and giving them some good material to work with.
Yeah, so. 100%.
Like Kevin McHale a couple of times, like these things.
Yeah. Wade Boggs.
Yeah.
Tip O'Neill, the former Speaker of the House.
Yeah, yeah, Robert Tip O'Neill, Robert Urich. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Robert Urich was an actor.
I mean, he gets paid to act, so yeah.
right. Anyway, we cut to outside this guy who, spoiler alert, he might be my MVP of the episode.
Oh, he's beautiful. His tone is amazing.
The justice of the peace tells Woody to get everybody ready, and he's like, yes, father. He's like, you don't have to call me father. I'm not a priest. I'm a government official. It's like, okay, your honor. He's like, no, that would be a judge. I'm a justice of the peace. And Woody's like, what should I call you? Call me Ed.
Just perfect tone. The fisheries guy.
Yeah. He's like, can we get this thing started? I've got a fishing license to hand out. Everybody's seated and gathered, and Fraser, of course, is still pouting. He's like, Rebecca at least gave me the honor of pushing the buttons for Bobby. He's like, by the way, what button is Unchained Melody? And Bobby Hatfield, just out of the corner of his mouth, not even looking at it, just goes, U14. He's like, he knows it. So they start the song. Rebecca and Robin are walking slowly down the aisle. And Lilith comments on it. She's like, this reminds me of the first time we saw Ghost.
Which, the one useful psychological remark by a trained psychiatrist in this entire arc.
Right. But again, I was like, it reminds me, like, again, Ghost was a recent movie. It wasn't a long time ago at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, because then Sam comes to it and he's like, wait, songs make you remember things, don't they? And he asks Lilith to confirm this, and she does. And she says, music is one of the most powerful of the evocative stimuli. And then she starts going, some fascinating data was gathered from a study in Brussels in 1957. And Sam bolts up and runs over to the karaoke. And she just turns to Fraser. They always leave when I'm getting to the exciting part.
The way she said that, the timing, the tone, perfect.
Yeah. There's like a whole history of this. Sam changes the tune. And he kind of coaxes Bobby Hatfield into singing a non-Righteous Brothers song, singing We've Got Tonight by Bob Seger, which it takes a couple of steps. Rebecca's like, I know this song before. Where do I know it for? She's kind of walking in step with her. And then it finally dawns on her, and she stops and slowly in step with her, starts walking backwards.
It's a great bit of like comic, physical comedy by her.
Yeah, just like a rewind, still smiling at the crowd and everybody, and then just disappears into the door. Then we jump to a commercial. When we come back, Robin is trying to get her to open the door. and it's like, we're on a tight schedule. I've got fishing licenses to pass out. Robin and Sam go to get a key from a security office on the next floor. And Robin doesn't understand why she would do something like this. She's always seemed so stable before. And Sam's like, you two ever actually talked? Well, as they are walking out of the room, Cliff slips back in. He's like, you know, getting past security. He's like, what did I miss? And they're like, well, the wedding might be off. And he's like, oh, Cliff is upset about it. He's angry because he spent all this time tying tin cans to the back of Robin's car and spraying shaving cream on it. They're like, what are you talking about? Robin doesn't have a car now. And Cliff just, oh. And just no other word on, no defense.
Yep. Fraser. We mentioned that Paul is here this whole time.
Yeah,
just like,
yeah.
One of the gang. Just
he's
like,
there. Like,
you know.
They're, yeah, the guys, when they think the wedding is over, they all start attacking the cake. Like Cliff, yeah. Norm, even Carla and Paul, yeah. They're all just sitting around there just eating the cake with their hands. And Fraser is walking next to Bobby Hatfield talking about how upset he was that he's upstaged him. He's like, you know, I know you're a professional singer. I'm willing to bet I'm a better psychiatrist. Bobby's like, really? How long have you felt that way?
Again, great timing, great response.
Yeah. Rebecca pokes her head out. She's not ready to go on with the ceremony. She needs somebody to talk to about her circumstances. She really needs somebody to help her out, and kind of disappears back into the room. And everybody just looks around like nobody wants this dude. Nobody wants to volunteer. So Paul Crapins, just shrugs his shoulders. All right. And he kind of walks in. He just walks over there, opens the door. And a second later, he's out the door again. And she's just shouting, not Paul.
And which gives the actor like the opportunity for a great line.
He just sits down there. He's like, I can't help somebody that doesn't want to be helped.
Yep.
And like, I kind of previewed it in the last episode, but like this one with this little bit, because they'll come back to it again, they really like, they're giving Paul a character and a place in this show. Like he's
for sure
he's gonna have history here. And yep. I mean, in the future, he will have plots based on him. So,
and luckily for Cliff Clavin, Cliff is not like will not bear 100% of the taunts and jibes right. anymore. Some of that responsibility will be shifted over to Paul.
Yeah. So Sam rushes into the room and Rebecca's like, I need somebody to talk to about what's wrong with me. And Sam just goes, have you tried talking to Paul? She's like, no, of course not. He's like, well, he's always helped me. He's got a super outlook on life. This whole thing is like, now I want to see this backstory of them going
like,
to Paul.
And it's just a casual way that Sam says it. He's not like milking it for a laugh. He just says it so matter-of-factly. It's like mildly shocking and really funny as a result.
Yeah. So she's like, she doesn't love Robin anymore. She's like, she used to. And he's like, well, he's not rich anymore. And she balks at that. She's like, wait, you think I just loved him for his money? And he's like, yeah, isn't that true? And she slaps him this time. And she's like, I'm not that shallow. And she's going to prove it by getting married right now. So she's like, she opens the door. She's like, Bobby, hit it. And or Bobby, Ed, hit it, both of them. So she walks up, meets Robin at the aisle to perform the marriage, and Ed is up there officiating the ceremony and reading the script under the bylaws of the Massachusetts Fish and Game Commission. He's like, oh, he has to change it. And then they exchange their vows. Robin's vow, of course, he recites all of Shakespeare's Sonnet 18. This is the shall I compare thee to a summer's day
speech. And I have to say, he does it beautifully. Like, he does it beautifully. I mean, one of the principles of comedy is, like, you have to sell it like it's drama. That's what makes the funny situations funny. And, like, that sings. He's so good at it.
Yeah, it's earnest. It's tender. It's
heartfelt.
Like, the same thing. It's like, okay, we've got Bebe Neuwirth. Play to her strengths. She can sing and dance. Give her an excuse to sing and dance. Robin, this classically trained British Shakespearean actor, let him quote Shakespeare a time or two.
Yep.
So, yeah, then, yeah, he does this whole, you know, sonnet, which takes, like, almost a minute to recite the entire thing. And then he just kind of, like, actually looks in her eyes expectantly, and she goes, I only loved you for your money, and runs. Oh, man.
A really long non-bar scene, right?
Yeah, yeah, one of the longer ones. And it's weird because it's not – it's in the middle of Act One and then ends before the end of Act Two. We do, it's like the middle chunk of it, because then when we come back and when for the rest of the episode, we're only in the office. We're never actually back in the bar proper.
Yep.
And Rebecca's just lying on the desk that used to be hers with Carla, of all people, sitting with her. And Rebecca hates herself. She hates her life. She says she's the worst person. So Carla's advice is offering ways for her to kill herself. You can jump off the Charles. You can jump off the Prudential building. All these things. Okay, you see, like, I don't want to do any of those things. And Carla's like, Paul is right. You can't help somebody who doesn't want to be helped. Again, the third time for Paul.
Yep.
So Sam comes in. He's like, I've got good news and bad news. She's like, what's the bad news? He's like, Robin is here. He wants to talk to you. She's like, oh, God. What's the good news? Sam's, I lied about the good news. Usually, will you talk to him? So Robin goes in, asks her, and eventually they go through the whole thing, and she confesses she doesn't love him. He's like, since when? Since they sealed his accounts. And yeah,
but you were my sweet baby.
No, you was my rich baby. I love it. And he's like, well, what if I told you that I had $6 million stashed away in a money belt before my arrest? Would that make a difference? And she sits with it for a second and then says, no. And it's like, oh, maybe she has actually matured and found some dignity in her life at long last. And Robin opens up her desk drawer, pulls the drawer out of the desk that he gave her, I'm pretty sure, takes it out, turns it over. And there is a money belt taped to the bottom of the dress. And he takes that.
That's so cool, the way he executes that move.
Yeah. Throws it over his shoulder. And she's like, what is that? He's like, $6 million. Farewell, Rebecca. And he's out. And Sam rushes in. He's like, he was listening at the door. He couldn't believe she turned on that money. He's like, you've really changed. You've grown as a person. And she admits that she thought he was bluffing and tries to run after him. And Sam stops her. And that's where they kind of cut it.
Hey, Ryan, fun fact. Do you know how what $6 million at the time of the filming of this episode was worth last month?
$7 million. No, no. It's a...
As of December 2025, we are recording in January of 2026, it was worth $14.5 million.
Okay.
So, you know, it appreciates quite a bit.
Still, I mean, when you think about his position as, you know, an executive, a corporate, like what he was with, $1 million isn't what it used to be.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, even a come down from several billion dollars to $14.5 million is still a come down. But for Rebecca, that's quite a lot of money to miss, to lose out on.
Yeah. The last cast member, Ed, wonderful Ed, was played by Ray Strickland. He does have more than one credit.
I hope that guy is an actor.
He's got over 70 credits. He actually started acting in the 1950s. He died in 2002. Mm. Lots of things. He played Jesse James in the movie Young Jesse James. He did more than just acting. I think he was actually like an agent or like had like a casting service or representation for actors for a little while too. But
he was wonderful. I mean, if you're counting Robin Colcord as more of a main character than like a one-off guest star, as you should, there were a lot of memorable guest stars from, you know, the hairdresser to the city hall employee who escorts Cliff away to this justice of the peace. But I think the justice of the peace took the cake. He was wonderful. His tone, his affect, it was great.
It's amazing. Just the credits, the other things that were included, the two songs, You're Just in Love and You Don't Need Analyzing by Irving Berlin, Unchained Melody by the Righteous Brothers, We've Got Tonight by Bob Seger, and then Sonnet Number 18 by William Budd Shakespeare. For Norm's tab, he only had two beers this time, and I think it's because we actually only see the bar for like 4 minutes this episode.
Yeah. And a pretty light Norm episode in general.
Right. He had some good moments, as they always do, but and that brings him up to 897 for the series so far.
Not bad.
So for the employee of the month, I've already kind of given it away. It's a great episode for Rebecca. It's a great episode for Sam. It's a nice send off for Robin.
Yeah.
But I gave it to Ed.
Ed is awesome. I mean,
he's got like three lines or three moments, and he just like the way he just like seems like he doesn't care. And there's a guy at not Cliff, but there is a guy at my local post office that I see every once in a while who seems just like Ed, who just seems like he would rather be anywhere else, but you also can't really imagine him having fun anywhere, no matter where he is.
There is a particular brand of civil servant that embodies those qualities that you're describing, and Ed is very illustrative.
Yeah, would he be yours too?
You know what? Ed comes close. I would also say that Frasier and Lilith comes close. This is a great Frasier and Lilith episode. I think that this is a perfect illustration of that quality that Ted Danson had in latter era Cheers episodes of being like the way Phil Hartman was in Saturday Night Live is sort of the glue guy.
Yeah.
Like Sam is great in this one. And I also think that like, it's a nice progression from the very lecherous attitude he had from Rebecca toward Rebecca, like 4 years earlier when they started to be friends, to like, he's treating her the way he would treat Carla or Norm or Woody or Coach back in the day, just like being a mensch looking out for her. I don't think that he had ulterior motives in wanting to get her to snap out of it and figure out what her real feelings were. This was kind of like Sam being very pure, so for that reason, for like, you know, the 7,000th time, I would make him the employee of the month.
Right. Yeah, well, and as we find out in the episode after this, Sam really loves Rebecca, but he panics if asked or considering spending the rest of his life with her.
Yes, I think the cat's out of the bag on how stable a presence Rebecca is. And so, absolutely. I get what you're saying, that like it might be played for, they might be playing it for like a, whoa, Sam is maybe, you know, not comfortable with commitment. But I think that's also as much a statement on Rebecca's stability as anything else.
For the home runs, I do think the running gag about Paul is my home run. It's my favorite part, for the starting with her just saying, not Paul. And then Sam coming in, did you try talking to Paul? He's always given me great advice. And then
just the weirdly confident, dismissive way Paul was like, can't help them if they can't help themselves.
Yeah.
No, that was good. I would say, weirdly, I think the karaoke thing was handled pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they'd spent a little bit more time on it, it would have been too much. I think that's a great cold open. I think that's a great cold open too.
Yeah, the tease is good. Yeah. The Lilith singing part I liked. The sonnet just as a recitation and performance, yeah. I liked. And then Ed's gag about the fishing licenses.
Yeah.
So tons of fun stuff. Yeah.
For sure.
It's sad to say goodbye to Robin after this wonderful time. We do have John Allen Hill has already proved to be a good nemesis, a good antagonist for Sam. And we'll see Henri as an antagonist for Woody every once in a while.
I think from a plot standpoint, the Robin stuff had run its course by this point.
Yeah.
He was a great essential character. It makes sense for him to exit at this point, although I know, you know, he'll, like as you alluded to, you know, we might not have seen the very last of him, but the major part of his story is over. Just a hats off, though, to Roger Rees, like a brilliant actor, like very funny. Very when he needed it to be, very moving when he needed it to be. I think we lost him over a decade ago. He was very multifaceted. Ryan and I, you and I are fans of The West Wing. He did a lot of really good work in that, and he did a lot of good stuff. I always felt better when he was in the room in Cheers. He was always guaranteed to make me smile and be a really good foil for Sam.
Absolutely, yeah. I maybe I'll be wrong about this. We'll see upon the rewatches if my attitude changes, but I have a feeling with this two-parter and especially with the next episode, I think after this arc, I don't know if Rebecca is ever quite as good as she has been. Like my feeling is that Rebecca as a character has peaked and she might recover in this last season, but
my memory is she's just kind of she still, I'm sure, has good moments, but becomes a little bit more of a one-note punchline.
Yeah.
I feel like the majority of her arc as an important quote-unquote character is done from seasons 6 through 9 or 10, whatever this one is. For the remaining year and a half or whatever, 2 years, she seems more of an afterthought, especially as, correct me if I'm wrong, but like, that last year or two, as Woody Harrelson's film career heats up, as Ted Danson is doing more and more movies and they're starting to think about winding up the show, Kelsey Grammer becomes a little bit more prominent.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I don't remember Rebecca's storylines quite as much popping in those last year or two.
Right. I mean, she just kind of gets, I mean, yeah, in season 10, B.B. Newworth will become a regular cast member in the opening credits. They'll do a lot more with her.
Deservedly so, by the way. She's brilliant in it.
Right. You know, Woody's relationship with Kelly will get further developed and explored with that. So, yeah, they're more crowded. And even, like I said, Paul becomes a bigger thing. So it's easier to kind of to get pushed to the side if you don't have the really strong thing. But anyway.
Yeah.
Omar, thank you very much for being on this episode of Cheerscast. This was a ton of fun, as always.
Yeah, it was really enjoyable. I really enjoyed this episode. I really enjoyed the wrapping up of the Robin arc. It's a real pleasure to be able to see Roger Rees like play with this cast and see all the classic tropes of latter-day Cheers like come to bear and shine. So, yeah, I was really happy to be able to review it again after a while and talk about it with you.
Yeah, this is a lot of fun. And if people want to hear more, you've been on this show before. You've been on Fire and Water Records, the music podcast. You were on Pod Dylan with Rob and some of Rob's movie podcasts. So always love having you on the shows.
Yeah, looking forward to doing it again. And anytime you need me, I'm ready to step up. Love talking about this stuff.
We've got tonight, babe. Why don't you stay?
All right, thanks to all of you who listen to Cheerscast and support the show by liking and sharing on social media and leaving comments on the website fireandwaterpodcast.com. You can also support the Fire and Water Podcast Network on Patreon. Cheerscast is supported by the Right On Network and Jeff and Rick Presents Unpacking the Power of Power Pack. Go to patreon.com/FWPodcast to support your favorite show on the Fire and Water Network. Thanks everyone for listening, and until next time, we're closed.
We got tonight.
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a stay. Sometime too hot the eye of heaven doth shine, and often is his gold complexion dimmed, and every fair from fair sometime declines, by chance or nature's changing course untrimmed. But thy eternal summer shall not fade, nor lose possession of that fair thou owest, nor shall death brag thou wanderest in his shade, when in eternal lines to time thou owest. As long as men can breathe, or eyes can see, so long lives this, and this gives life to thee. Rebecca.
I only loved you for your money.